Welcome to I'm Screaming, a podcast for anyone who's ever felt like shamelessly screaming at the top of their lungs over a moment in pop culture.
Because sometimes pop culture can be scary and you just gotta let it out. Let's scream about it together.
Hello, Megan.
Hi, Giselle.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy
Thursday
Wednesday
for all those listening.
Happy almost Giselle's birthday. Golden birthday.
Golden birthday, my dear, dear friends. I am excited. I have so much anticipation. I am entering my last year of my 20s with high hopes, but no expectations, because as I learned from 28, life can throw loops at you, but you just keep swimming, you know? And I feel as though, I guess we can just start with this because it refers to my birthday, and it doesn't refer to my birthday, but it makes me feel like it refers to my birthday.
Yes.
My birthday's on Friday, the March 29th, everyone. It happens the same time every year, but this year is special because Beyonce, Giselle, don't forget, Noel Carter, is coming out with Part 2, called Cowboy Carter, the country album. Actually, I'm so sorry. It's Act 2, not a country album. It's a Beyonce album. But it comes out in 2 days for us. And I mean, I'm so excited. I told Meg I have so many things to say. We got a track list today, so we should definitely talk about that.
But it's also like a bit of a mystery. Like, she just like
is, I know, like, I have
giving
thoughts.
It very, yeah.
Well, of course, like, I got the track list, immediately excited. And then, as always, like clockwork, guess who texts me? Kubale.
Yes.
I've mentioned Kubale on this podcast before. She's my best friend from college, also little. LOL. Don't forget it. I raised her. And she sent me, she sent it to me, and she was like, do you think there's going to be more collabs announced? Because we got the Linda Martell. We know that's going to be one. And we know Willie Nelson's going to be one.
And Dolly Parton.
Officially Dolly? Or are we thinking?
It says Dolly P.
Okay. I didn't know if she was telling me that was the name of a song.
No, I mean, Dolly P being right next to Jolene makes me think it's a re-recording or like revamped version of Jolene by Dolly Parton.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I would love that. So, okay, we have three collabs announced.
I don't know. Maybe I just kind of assumed that. I don't know. I mean, I also thought that, like, people were pretty convinced the Dolly Parton thing was happening.
Yeah. That people were quite on their game about that one. And then, of course, there's been some circling rumors. Some I feel more positive or more like will happen rather than not. First is Megan Thee Stallion being on the album, supposedly, because number one, the album is about like Texas, Houston, you know, all the things. Megan Thee Stallion is Texas and Houston. And Meg on her Instagram, like literally 5 minutes after this was announced, reposted and like called out one of the songs and was like, oh, I'm so ready for this song. So I'm like, okay, Meg, we know you're a Beyonce fan, but are you also on the album? And then we also heard that potentially we'd have a Taylor Swift moment, which maybe was too on the nose. Maybe could be true. I don't know. What do you feel about that?
I just didn't like think that there were any more collabs than the ones that she put on this post. So I'm like now like reopening my mind to like the potential.
I didn't think that either, Meg. I agreed with you. But then Kubale was like, but the people. And I was like, oh, my God, the people.
Maybe. What do you mean the people?
Like the hive, like the beehive, apparently on Twitter. You know I'm not on Twitter, but Kubale is, and she was telling me that the beehive is like all a buzz.
Right.
And then, Gaga. Telephone Part 2. I don't think that's coming till the third one.
I don't know. I think
that Beyonce kind of just tells us that I don't think we're getting anything.
Yeah, like, I don't think Beyonce is Taylor Swift is the thing. Like,
I agree.
She's not doing, and also like Taylor Swift does fuck around, but even I feel like if this was, you know, if she did this, there wouldn't be any more collabs. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm just in this place in my life where I'm like not opening myself up to disappointment when yeah. it comes to these kind of things. So it's like, I don't know. I actually think the Taylor Swift on a Beyonce song discourse would literally put me in my grave. So
yeah,
I can't. And also like, I don't know. I think, as you said, maybe a little too on the nose.
The only thing I
saw people like on Twitter being like, y'all said there was a telephone part two, and guess what? Like, no. I don't know. Gaga's just in her like pharmaceutical era. Like,
that's literally what I said.
Yeah. And I just don't feel like she's like with us on this planet right now. Like, I think she's still on Chromatica somehow.
Absolutely.
I would love to see Megan. I just looked at the story and it is a bit like leading, like, oh, can't wait to hear what that sounds like.
Yeah.
But it could just be Meg being like, oh, can we hear what that sounds like?
I know. I feel like it could be. The only thing that makes sense, I agree with you on the Gaga thing. I told Kubali, I was like, I do think LG6, we've talked about this, is maybe going to be rock. So that would make sense to do a Beyonce-Gaga collab when they're both doing rock albums. Because I am putting all my money on the fact that the next album will be rock.
Yeah, Act 3 will be rock. For
yeah.
Sure.
But then on the, I could see, like, you know how she released America Has a Problem, like, later on again with Kendrick? Like, I could see that happening with, like, a Meg Thee Stallion. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or, like, that's, I mean, really Taylor true. Swift.
What would it be?
That would literally break the internet. American
Requiem featuring Taylor Swift.
Literally. It would break the internet. It would be actually too much, I think. Yeah. Like, I don't know if we could handle it. Also, I don't know if I need, like, much love to the Swifties. And I know there are Swiftie Beyonce crossovers. I think those are maybe the best people, actually.
I mean, but, hi.
Exactly. The best people. But I don't know if I need the Swifties who are not Beyonce fans to be entering the chat. You know what I mean? I only want the.
And being probably like racist.
Literally. Like, I don't need that.
Like, low key racist from the jump, probably.
Right. Like, I love where we just live right now, the intersection. Yeah. Like, I don't know if we need a.
We live in peace. It's like, yeah. We don't need the Fire Nation to attack.
You know? No,
like,
we don't.
We need to live in harmony still.
Yes.
But if this is it.
Yeah. What are you feeling passionately?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. 26 tracks? I mean, if Dolly P, the thing is, the only reason why now I'm like Dolly P is like it's separate thing. So like, is there a song called Dolly P? But
that's what I know. I'm just like, but what's she giving us?
Right next to Jolene, I'm like, I don't know.
I know this. Of course, Beyonce couldn't just give us something easy, but like she has given us a lot. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if it's going to be 26 songs, it's like it's going to be a lot to process.
But also, right? You're so right. It's like the only one that says like even the Linda Martell show, like, is Linda Martell going to feature on it, or is it just a song with like a, you know what I mean?
Well, I think, but yeah, it's just weird that it's like Smoke Hour, Willie Nelson, but then there's a Smoke Hour 2. And then like the Linda Martell show, like, is that the name of the song?
Right. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I actually cannot believe I am so blessed to be able to wake up on my literal 29th birthday to a Beyonce album. Like,
I'm not going to wait up.
No, I am. But I'm going to, it will be in the world. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I just, oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited. This is everything to me. Like, I feel like crying. And also, I don't know, as we've said on this podcast, like, I don't know what the live component of this will be, but like, Meg and I have already agreed, like, there's actually no way in this world we won't see it. We have to.
No, we're going.
Like, we didn't spend the money on Renaissance Part 1, which will be our biggest regret we've ever made in our lives. So we must. I honestly hope it's in, like, Vegas. Like, I kind of want it to that to be it. So we can just go to one place, see her, fucking, you know.
Do shenanigans.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about the parallel world where we pulled the trigger on those tickets to the last night at MetLife.
It would have been our greatest
on the day while we were like already wine drunk at 2 p.m.
Oh my
constantly. All the time. I think about it all the time because, like, maybe it's a better timeline. I don't know.
I think it is a better timeline. Like, that's the timeline that I want to be living in, honestly. Like, how do we get there?
Yeah.
But yeah, all of that to say, obviously next week we will have all of it for you. A full review, our favorites, our feelings, our thoughts, rankings. We will have it all. But I, as is Meg, we are very excited.
And I'm so excited. I can't wait. I feel like I want to do like a full Renaissance listen tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's like probably a totally different vibe.
Tip.
They're both Beyonce albums, you know?
Ten. Oh my God, we're so lucky. Oh my God. Okay, before I literally freak out and fall on the ground, should we just keep on our music?
Yeah, there's like a lot of music stuff.
Do you want to spill our guts or do you want to hit the gravity bong? What are you feeling?
Let's just spill our guts and get it over with.
Okay.
Guts. You did a full listen. Guts spilled.
I did a full listen to Guts Spilled. Okay. Well, I hear the ones that I actually added to my playlist. Guts is just... It's so hard to put into words because, like, actually, even before we got on this call, like, Making the Bed is in my head. Like, there actually are songs on Guts, like, 4 or 5 songs on Guts that I really, really, really like.
Yeah.
But the rest of them are just, like, so floppy on it to me that, like, it's so hard for me to even, like Guts because, like, they're flops to me.
Lacey,
floppiest of flop flops.
I feel like you like Logical.
I do like Logical.
I don't really like Logical.
Wait, how does that go?
Logical.
No, I don't.
Logical, right?
I don't.
Isn't that how it goes?
That is how it goes, but I don't.
The Grudge, bye.
No. Wait, I do like Logical. It's on my playlist a little.
Yeah, I knew you liked it. It's okay.
Love is Embarrassing is my shit.
Is Embarrassing is a banger.
Making the Bed, I also
like. And, like, the singles have, like, fully grown on me a lot. All American Bitch, I had a moment with.
Yeah.
The other day I listened to Teenage Dream for the first time in a while and it like wasn't awful. Okay. I do just think like the listeners know we are sour girls. We are sour girls through and through.
To our core.
And like Guts was just a bit of a letdown for us. I do think the album as a whole has grown on me. I still don't think it's like people just talk about it like it's groundbreaking and I just don't think it is.
No.
And people did the same thing with Guts Spilled. So I do just feel like unfortunately for Olivia, she is just destined for like hyperbole all the time.
Yeah.
And like that's not good for her.
I'm itching for the third project, but I hope it's
but like why are we saying that these 5 songs on Guts Spilled are like the best song she's ever released? Because I can tell you, Obsessed is fun. Obsessed is kind of what I thought the whole vibe of Guts was gonna be.
Agreed.
And it's fun and fine. Girl, agreed. I've always been scared of my guitar stranger. Skip. For me.
I actually like Scared of My Guitar and Stranger. Shockingly.
I just listened to them like through like 3 times. And
which one is the song she sounds like Alanis? Is that the one I like?
You said Scared of My Guitar.
Oh yeah, I did like it though. I do like Alanis.
So American is it for me, but that's brand new. Like that is like because the other 4 were the bonus tracks on the records on the 4 different variants.
Right. Okay. So,
and they were like demo versions of those songs, and so now they've like updated the production and put them out.
I remember that da 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 that was on TikTok.
Yeah. And she plays Obsessed on tour.
Okay.
Played it since opening night.
Oh wow.
But So American is about this new boyfriend.
Right. He's British now, right?
British. And I do just think, like, I'm with the girlies on TikTok who are, like, bouncing around to it, talking about how, like, this is what it feels like to have a crush. And,
yeah.
Like, absolutely does. And I think it's super fun, and I think the production is fun. Do I think it's, like, a groundbreaking song lyrically? No. Like, again, I do just think there's something missing with me and Olivia Rodrigo with the lyrics.
I just think she needs to marinate a little. Like truly.
She's a baby.
I remember a few weeks ago when we were talking about Guts or whenever Guts came. When did Guts come out last year?
Like September.
Oh girl, I forgot. But whenever Guts came out, we were just like, you know, Sour was our shit, obviously. And like I do believe that like give Olivia Rodrigo like a little marinating, a little cooking. I think like the fourth album is gonna attack me. Maybe third. Even if she goes away, if she goes away for like 2 or 3 years, I think the third album could really hit for me. And I need us to step away from this like rocker thing.
Honestly, Giselle, she needs to just fully lean into that. Like, if she wants to be Alanis, be Alanis. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I think that could be really interesting for the third record. And maybe that doesn't feel as much our like what we like, but at least it would be a little bit different, I think.
But we like a rock record, like Miley's Plastic Hearts took us by the throat.
I mean, obviously you're a Paramore girl, so like
obviously, and that's why I'm so confused a little bit on why I'm not connecting with this, because I am a Paramore girl through and through, like to the death of me. So like, what is disconnecting for me and Miss Rodrigo and Guts? Like, what's going on?
Well, also it's like
maybe I'm old. Like that's
well, fine. Also it's like, and I mean, Jasmine said this in class the other day, like when she played all of Guts Spilled last week when it came out, it was like. Less than 3 minutes till Arms, because like no song is longer than 2.5 minutes these days. And yeah. I do think that is where like some of these like younger Gen Z artists lose me a bit, because it's like the song feels over before it starts, right? Yeah. And it feels like, and even on these Guts Spilled tracks, like I think Scared of My Guitar. I mean, like, listen, I'll give Girl I've Always Been definitely a skip for me. Stranger, I'm trying to remember what it even sounds like. Scared of My Guitar is the one I've heard the most of those three, and I could definitely see it growing on me, because I also think it's like the longest one. I think it's like over 4 minutes, which is like kind of shocking for her. And also, like, I've been looking at like my stats for Spotify Stats FM, because I have been listening to So American so much, and it's like it's still not even cracked like the top 10 of my most listened to songs the last 4 weeks, because it's 2.5 minutes long. Like,
I know,
it's
so short.
Over before it starts. So I do just think like it's hard for those songs to feel so impactful, especially because like I think recently what we've been hearing are these like really powerful ballads from all of these artists that we love that are like lengthy and have multiple verses and have strong bridges. Like, think about Deeper Well, think about Don't Forget Me, Maggie, think about 16 Carriages. Like, there's just so much out there with so much substance that I do just feel like that's why Olivia's stuff continues to fall flat for me a little bit. Like, and I'm excited. I mean, like, I'm going to see the tour in like less than 2 weeks. Like, I'm really excited to see her, because like I loved Sour, and I like the music. And,
oh, you'll have a blast.
But it's still just not clicking for me.
Yeah. I'm very, very, very excited to hear your tour review. Like, I'm so excited to hear it about it. See it. From your eyes. You know what I mean?
Oh, you know you'll get an
earful. I still hate the outfits.
Yeah. They're not good, are they?
No, it's just like, I'm not going to put Olivia in the same category as Tate McRae, because that's doing a disservice to Olivia Rodrigo, because she does have better outfits than Tate McRae. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not shading Tate McRae, because that girl has the body of a goddess. And the face also, she's gorgeous, but like the outfits, I'm this call is going to her stylist. I'm dialing the stylist and saying, what the fuck are you doing? And I know that Olivia Rodrigo's stylist is better than this, because a lot of times Olivia Rodrigo works with Emma Chamberlain's stylist, and I think Emma Chamberlain often looks good. Absolutely. So I'm like, what's not clicking, Steven?
What's not clicking, Steven?
You know what I mean? And I get it's like a tour wardrobe, but like I've seen better.
Oh, absolutely.
When we have the budget to deliver, like we talked about this 2 weeks ago, but like when Sabrina Carpenter exists. When Sabrina Carpenter exists and she's giving us looks that are cohesive and fun and also cute, I just don't know why you can't do something different but similar, you know?
Yeah. And that's not even on her own tour.
Literally. We'll see her at, right? That's Saturday, Sunday. She's performing at Govball. You'll see her too. We'll both be sad.
Well, I don't know if it's Sunday, G. I think.
Well, I feel like she's prepping in her love chambers with Barry Keoghan, and she's prepping an album.
We'll be sad. She's Saturday, but we'll see Chapel.
Oh, I'm so
excited. And Renee and SZA, the girl.
What I wrote about Chapel, which I actually feel like I need to say to the world, is in my little album of the year, which Vera introduced us to, which I'm obsessed with, is like, I love Chapel Roan and the album because it made me feel like Kesha made me feel freshman year of high school, like, which was this, like, you're changing, you're growing, you're figuring out who you are, you're feeling really awkward and weird, but also at the same time, like, you just want to fucking dance and put on glitter and be a menace. And, like, that's what Chapel Roan is also making me feel as I enter this, like, my 30s extremely soon, which is, I feel 30 literally, like, I feel like it's like, it's a, like, don't take yourself too seriously, like, it's okay to still be young and chaotic and like wild and like enjoy yourself, and I love that and I needed that. So yeah, the girls are delivering on the music and the albums, and I feel like we just have so much more to come.
Yeah,
after Maggie, I don't know what we have to come, but this Lizzie is before Maggie, I think. Oh really, is that, I thought Maggie was after Taylor.
No, it's Lizzie, Maggie, Taylor. The next, oh, wow. After Beyonce, it's Lizzie, Maggie, Taylor. Like, in a row.
Crazy.
Fed.
I'll be sad for the Tortured Poet Society.
Almost. So close.
Wait, what?
Department.
Oh, the Tortured Poets Department. I literally can't get this.
That was, like, the closest you've ever been, though. It's part of the bid.
No, I totally know. I'll be sat for it, though. Of course I'll be listening.
Joe Alwyn, always. Star of the New Yorgos Lanthimos film.
Also, Joe Alwyn, I saw, like, some, I don't know where these days, but somewhere, that he, like, doesn't really have to work anymore because he makes so much royalties off the songs he wrote on for Taylor Swift. Honestly, play. I'm sorry. I know the narrative around Joe Alwyn has shifted, but, like, I love collecting your coin.
Well, it's just like so funny because it does feel like she really stretched to put him on all these songs and stuff, and like, yeah, he got album of the year for Folklore, even though like the rules, I think they like moved around the rules, like added him to some things so that he could get it, and then after all that, like, again, like, no one knows what happened. And like, even after the Tortured Poets Department, like, no one's actually going to know what happened.
Is that supposed to be about him?
Yes.
Okay.
Got yes. It.
Got it.
I mean, you know.
Are these songs supposed to be written recently or?
Yes.
The, okay. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
You know, like how like we've been plagued since she started tour of photos of her going in and out of Electric Lady.
Oh yeah.
That is this album.
Got it.
Yeah. So
her and Travis have been oot in a boot.
I know. The Bahamas, Nobu in LA.
I saw that they were like working out and they kicked everyone out, you know. But also, mad about that. But I'm like, what do you think? You're going to work out next to Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce? Like, be so serious, people. You're so annoying. Yeah.
Yeah.
You see her so soon though, Meg.
I know.
I'm so interested to see like how she incorporates the Tortured Poets Department, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tortured Poets Department.
Yeah.
Into the Eras Tour.
The Eras Tour.
Opening Paramore, which like, oh God. I'm
jealous. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah. Hayley Williams is, I mean, the like, voice is next level. You'll hear Castles Crumbling, which we all know is not an amazing song, but only made better to hear live with Hayley.
I know. I just wish it was better. I wish she gave Hayley more of an opportunity to like belt on that song. It's kind of really annoying. But
you just have one opener. Is that how the overseas era tour is?
I think so. Yeah, because Sabrina was her only opener on the last leg. So it'll be Paramore for the rest, and then Gracie when she's back in the States again.
Like, also Paramore will be so fun because like you're gonna see them with like, well, hey, first of all, Hayley's hair is dropped, so like powerful, and then also I just feel like they have new energy because they finally finished their like label obligations. So they're like, they're free agents.
Yeah,
they've been resting. Something is coming. I believe it.
Oh my God, that's so exciting.
Yeah,
I know. I can't believe it's been like a year since that album came out. That's crazy.
Oh God, what a moment for me.
That was such, it was so good.
Last year was powerful for me as well, I feel. Yeah. Oh my God. And we get Brat.
Brat. And I mean, the rumor on the street, and we can, you know, go in and out of music here because we also have a reference to this. The rumor on the street is Harry Styles 4 is coming, like imminent, single in the next couple of months.
I mean, I'm ready.
I am so, are you kidding me? Harry Styles has 3 amazing albums out in the world.
Three amazing albums.
I'm so sorry. We just do not, I mean, we do talk about it, but we actually talk about it and we're like, oh, Harry, but like, 3 great albums.
I have a genuine, real question for you, Meg, that I need you to dig deep and answer honestly.
Okay.
In our young lifetime, so I'd say in the next 10 years, pre-40, do you think we're getting a One Direction reunion?
Okay, this is such an interesting question. Thank you so much for your question. Keep asking questions, keep being curious.
Always.
I think that things are moving in the right direction for
There's it. Been process. There's been
I
process.
Wouldn't say
progress
all in one direction right now.
Okay. Okay.
You know, you get catch my drift. Totally. But I would say that the pieces are moving in similar directions.
Okay.
Because of Zayn's recent comments. Yes,
this is why I'm asking.
He is obviously the problem
with
that, right? If you're, you know. But him saying we made good music together, him like saying Harry's name in an interview. Like
saying he looks back more fondly on those memories.
Harry Styles would be best served if Harry did the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be a massive possibility because apparently it's a stadium tour for the next Harry album.
Oh, so, we're going to have to go to MetLife,
yes. Unless we want to go somewhere else. We could go somewhere else.
Which I love. We have money. Maybe, hopefully. And hopefully we can continue to use it.
The only thing I spend my money on is concerts.
Literally.
So I think Harry Styles does a stadium tour, does the Super Bowl in like the next 3 years. Very possible. All very possible. I think Harry, especially because of the Justin Timberlake of it all recently, bringing out NSYNC because his star is so far faded that he needs NSYNC to get any press for this album. And that's so embarrassing and rude.
It's so embarrassing. And like for him.
Thinking, you know, like truly like just like thinking he's the shit. And now it's like he needs them. I think Harry's smart enough to know that like it's better to do it sooner. Like he doesn't need to do it. And I don't think it would be like a reunion tour, but I do think a performance could happen with, as you said, like before 40. Yes.
Okay. That makes me feel good. I mean, my last and final question about this exact topic, like how much money would you realistically spend?
To go to like an actual concert?
To go to like a One Direction reunion concert.
I mean, I never saw One Direction when they were a band.
I mean, that's wild to me. You know, I'm not someone who used to go to a lot of concerts, but like shockingly, I saw them on during their first album.
No, crazy. I never saw them.
Personally, I would drop a lot of money.
Yeah, I would absolutely drop a lot of money. I mean, like the thing is like it would be marketed as a one-time thing, but like they would definitely do it again.
Yeah.
But I think like Liam absolutely 100% would show up.
Oh, he's already.
He'd need the check, right?
He signed it.
Zayn is showing signs and like he's talking about touring.
And he's so, the money.
Literally.
He's a child. He has to send the guy to college.
Can we talk about the fact that Zayn still has more Instagram followers than Harry? Because that is wild to me. Wild. Really? Yes. Like 10 million more Instagram followers than Harry.
I guess like in the early days, he just like had so many, you know what I mean? Like back when people were really following people on Instagram, the girls aren't really doing that these days, you know?
No, but Niall would do it for the shits and giggles, for the laughs.
Yeah, they can't do it without Niall.
Laugh.
Without Niall, it doesn't exist.
Oh, literally.
He's the glue.
Niall's the glue.
Louis is.
Louis would do it, but Louis would need like, I feel like Louis and would need like a separate dressing room.
Yeah, him and Harry still have some weird, like...
No, but him and Zane have issues.
Oh, they have beef?
Yeah. They have, like, bitter beef and, like, yeah. Oh, my God. So, I do just think, like, the stranger things have happened, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If Beyonce can bring back Destiny's Child, we can have One Direction.
No, literally. And that's the thing. And that's, I think Harry is more of a Beyonce than a Justin Timberlake in the sense that, like, he's not going to wait until he's in his decline to bring back the group that got him his start.
I agree.
I absolutely think, like, he's more of, like, a generous person like Beyonce.
I hope. But yeah,
we gotta just hope, you know.
We have to hope. I hope that Harry, HS4, brings us good outfits again. Like, that's all, like,
yeah, the vibe is so different.
Like,
when he has a very trendy chic girlfriend now,
not like in the Loewe, and also like
Olivia Wilde wasn't chic. I'm not gonna say that about, that's not nice,
but also he's not really a Gucci boy anymore because Alessandro's not at Gucci, so like, who's next? Are we gonna be a Loewe boy? Like, Jonathan Anderson has all the boys. Like,
he has a lot of the row on recently. But he's been spotted out and about with Miss Taylor Russell quite a bit. Giselle and I saw her play The Effect at the Shed in New York. And I do believe this is closing weekend, but if you are in New York and you want to see it, I would highly recommend it.
It was amazing.
It was so good. And she's just like beautiful and stunning and a star.
Literally
obsessed with them together.
A gorgeous pixie.
And she clearly runs that relationship. Like, I can just so tell.
Yeah.
That he is such a simp for her, and
we love to see it.
Like walking her dog for her and shit. Like, yes.
Also, she just like, it's like I'm obsessed. Like, bring back like the off-duty model look.
Bring
like,
back it girls.
Bring back it girls.
Zendaya. Like, not that I don't love Zendaya and want to.
No, we need more. But bring back more. It girls. Bring like also like I'm obsessed with this new era of It Girl. Like, yes, Io. Yes, Taylor. Like. Zendaya needs a break.
Yeah, she can't be carrying the It Girl community on her back.
She's like been doing it for so long. Also, but we're about to get even more from her from the challengers. Press.
Well, have you seen the? You've seen the like the tennis dress.
Yeah, of
the it's net 11. Dress, and now she's like she like was sitting at press, and she's like in kind of athleisure, and it's very like tennis player just got off the court. Like, you just know her and Law have been working on this.
My dream
these
job.
Press looks for years at this point, and like that is just sounds so fun and amazing, and I'm so yeah, it's literally a dream. Like, I would love to do that.
Like, that's what I need to make my like for 30 to 40 goal. Like, how do I become a stylist in the between ages 30 and 40, like, and then 40 just fucking rock out. Like, that's what I need
to
do.
Oh my god.
But yeah, it's just it's too good. I guess we can return back to Casey before we
and we have another girly to talk about, but like not new music to talk about. Yeah, the case came out almost two weeks ago at this point.
It did.
I, on first listen, really wasn't super passionate about it. And I'm not necessarily like streaming the shit out of it. But I do like it. And I do think it's good. And I do. And also, like, I'm just kind of proud of Casey. Like, I don't know. I do just feel also like she would just be mean to me if we were in a room together because she kind of scares me. But like, I also love her. And I think, you know, country radio has just like blacklisted her and she is a country artist. And she still got herself to like her highest debut on the chart, like almost had a number one album with this if it weren't for Eternal Sunshine. And like, did that all without like the promotion of country radio just because she like supports gay people and used to smoke weed. Like,
totally.
It just goes to show like the shit that's gonna go down with the fucking Beyonce album on Friday and like
and
the
I
way
have
that
to
people are gonna show their asses. And like, it's just
like if anyone I see even in like my peripheral is saying any bullshit about Beyonce, immediately I'm blocking you. I don't give a fuck. I've known you since I was 5 years old. You're getting blocked, bitch. I don't care. I just can't, you know?
It's going to be the classic. I'm not really a fan of, you know, I don't really like Beyonce, but you can't deny that she's talented. It's like, okay.
It's like literally like you actually don't have to speak because Beyonce really didn't ask your opinion. I don't think Beyonce gives a damn what you
think. And if you're gonna come for Beyonce, come for her for like being a billionaire and being like hold her accountable for like not speaking out on things. Like that's actually where you can come for Beyonce.
Wait, now I have to Kubali, who like doesn't actually probably listen to this podcast, but that's exactly what she said. I have to read her text to me like literally hours ago. She was like, wait, where is this? Truly, what did she say? Oh, okay. Oh yeah, she's like not to get in her soapbox, but Kubali, who's has a lot of critiques about Beyonce. Kubali is one of the number one Beyonce fans I know, but like the billionaire aspect of it all, whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, there is no other artist that inspires this type of excitement and discourse over what they're gonna do. Like, her artistry is on a next level, and like you just can't deny that. And the talent is on a next level, and you just can't deny that. Like, literally talk about being a billionaire, if anything. But people just like can't. People are just awful. I can't. Before I start yelling again, back to Casey. I'm so sorry. But I think like sadly about Casey, which like now after listening more and like putting it more in my rotation, I definitely like it. But like when I first listened to it, it was just hard for me because like I had just come off of like Eternal Sunshine, which personally for me like took over my life and like still is. So like I do think that like if Deeper Well was released separate from like an album that I really loved, and like I, you know what I mean? And it was like something I was like, I was at a music drought. And so mm-hmm. I like needed it. Mm-hmm. I think I would have had a different experience with it upon listening the first time, because like the whole time I was listening to it, like, honestly, I was like, I wish I was listening to Eternal Sunshine. Like that's just because I'm obsessed with that album. But like now that I've like had a little bit of a break from like initial Eternal Sunshine hype, I'm like back into listening. I actually have been listening to the Casey album a lot. And like even songs off first listen that I was like, I don't know. Now I'm like, oh wait, I actually like that. Like Cardinal, I did not like on the first listen, but now I actually like it, you know?
No, totally.
Are you sending me a message from the other side?
And I mean, that's good because clearly she loves the song.
I think
with time, I think I'm going to listen to this a lot in the summer too.
Yeah.
I think it's great. We're not seeing her till November. It gives us a lot of time to sit with the album.
I'm excited to see
like,
her.
Really like live in it and everything. I will say the opposite. It was the opposite effect of Eternal Sunshine, where the single was one of the stronger songs on the album.
Yeah.
You know, and I know you like Yes And, so I'm not going to blaspheme Yes And.
No, but I think
it's still a skip for me and is probably bottom three on the album in terms of strength of song.
I think it's bottom three in the album, and I love the album, but it's definitely. Whereas
Deeper Well is still like top five on the album for me because it's such a, it really hit me in such a profound way. And I also think it like speaks so much to, you know, both of the albums are kind of about the same thing about having a little bit of upheaval in your life and coming out of it. I'd say like Casey is further along that path than Ariana is
mm-hmm.
in terms of like the healing journey. So I think Deeper Well comes from a more mature place than Yes And does, and so I think it also it like speaks to me a little bit more than like Yes And did. And so then listening through the album and realizing like, oh okay, maybe Deeper Well is like one of the peaks, it never bodes well, like, and that kind of hurts other like deep cuts and like album tracks. So that's why I definitely want to spend a lot more time with it, because I do feel like, as you said, there's probably a lot of growers on there. Whereas like on first listen, you're like, this just sounds like all the other songs. Like, what's the difference?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't stand out the way that Deeper Well did. And especially because we got Deeper Well for like a month on its own. I'm, you know, Cardinal just gets stuck in your head.
It really does.
It's really an earworm. I really like Sway. I love Dinner with Friends. That's been a favorite since like first listen. Cause I do just like the lyrics and I like the, just kind of like the storytelling of it. Jade Green, Architect.
I really loved Give or Take Her and Lonely Millionaire. Those were two of my favorites. And the last one, the last song, Nothing to Be Scared Of
is really beautiful.
I really like that song.
Lonely Millionaire is really growing on me. I know you said you liked it from the jump. And so I was listening to it a little bit more and I do like it. I feel like Heaven is kind of a skip for me.
Yeah, Heaven is a skip for me, and Moving Out is kind of a skip for me.
Which you think Moving Out would be a little bit more like,
how do you feel about In the Heart of the Wound?
I think it's kind of fun. I think like, again, it hasn't grown on me as much, but I think that's very much more of like a message of the album. So it's a little bit more central for her. Like, I think she has some merch around Heart of the Woods. So, you know, you could just see which ones are her favorites. Like, you can tell. It's the same with, like, you know.
Yeah.
Any, I think about, you know, Taylor Swift albums where it's like, you know, she fucking loves this song and maybe it's not the fan favorite kind of thing. So she's going to push it or whatever. But yeah, no, I think like solid effort from Casey. I think a lot of people have been saying like a little bit of justice for Starcrossed. I am, have always been a little bit of a Starcrossed apologist, I think. Like, yeah. I streamed the shit out of that album. And I do think looking at it now between Deeper Well and Golden Hour, it does kind of, for me, feel a little bit like a bridge. And like like a kind of step out of line to try something new that like maybe didn't work 100%, but you can still feel Starcrossed on this album. And also I think you can feel like it be a little bit of a successor to Golden Hour.
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting. But I also think maybe that makes it a little bit less cohesive than something like a Golden Hour, which unfortunately Casey made one of the great albums of the 20th century, maybe of all time when all is said and done in Golden Hour. I said what I said.
No, I completely agree.
Yeah. So it's going to be hard to top that always, but.
Yeah, she really did her big one on that album. And like for a lot of times, like I'm like, I don't know about Album of the Year, but for that album deserved Album of the Year, absolutely, the Grammys. And I'm happy that it was awarded correctly.
They got it right. They absolutely got it right.
Because Golden Hour is, I mean, yeah, just one, of the, great albums.
Yeah.
One of the great albums. I am excited. Another album that I think will be great this year that I don't know. I mean, I don't know if people are talking about it, but Maggie's album, I think, is going to be really, really, I've loved both these singles.
Yes. What's the new one called again?
I'm forgetting, but I know I like it.
I think she's so cutesy with her little talking bit about the Knicks and the
I know.
And got the steaks to go, got a martini at the bar.
Oh, so sick of dreaming.
So sick of dreaming, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very, very country, as we've been saying. And I think that feels like the direction it's going to go in. And I think it's really interesting, as we've talked about, that this project was conceived before Surrender.
Mm-hmm. It feels more like Heard in a Past Life, which is one of my favorite albums of all time.
So again, it does kind of feel like a bridge to Surrender in a way. I know we like Surrender. It had the misfortune of coming out on the same day as Renaissance. This album has the misfortune of coming out, as we said, the week before Tortured Poets Department.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, Maggie, like commercially, like is just like not setting herself up for success.
No.
But I will be streaming, and I think I'm liking the way that it's stripped down in a way that Surrender wasn't. I think that was one of our complaints about it, was that it felt a little overproduced at times. And I think that was a result of she worked with who did she work with? Who won Album of the Year with Harry?
The producer on Harry's album?
Yes. Kid Harpoon. She worked with
Kid Harpoon.
Yeah. And I mean, Del Watergat produced that as well, like was a co-producer. I think it was a bit more all over the place, like trying different things, whereas this one already feels more cohesive with these two singles. So I'm really excited.
Same. And then to wrap up the music chats, I mean, it's just continuing to disappoint me time and time again is Miss Normani. This rollout, like I get, like I'm not dense, like I get it. Like I get why she's doing the rollout like this. Like I get why she thinks this is the correct move, which is this like, I know the album you guys have been waiting for forever. Like, I know you guys are hounding me. Like, I read the things. I get it. But, like, it's not cute, actually. Like, I sometimes want my artists to be earnest. Like, bring back, or, like, let's celebrate Bradley Cooper. Like, let's celebrate Anne Hathaway. Like, let's celebrate people caring about their craft. And, yeah, she announced that we are getting a single.
Not until the 26th of April.
Not until, and like the way she did it, she was like,
no, she's playing games, as you said to me, Giselle, putting out a tweet on a Friday afternoon that's like, hi, thanks for your patience or whatever. Like this will be announced at 1 p.m. on a fucking Saturday. Like what? No.
Terrible.
I'm sorry. I think, again, it's like
we still don't have an album date.
The game, literally. No, do we? I thought we did. Maybe not.
Oh yeah, so she was like, so basically,
yeah,
my first single 159 will be coming out on 426.
Wait, but also, like, where is the post?
On Twitter. That's it. I checked Instagram.
It's not even on Instagram.
No.
What it's are just, we doing, Giselle?
It's just Flapiana, as I said.
We need just a surprise single drop. And then you tease the album for, like, 2 weeks. And then you say. And not at 1 p.m. on a Saturday. I'm sorry. Like, enough of the games. Like, you've been in music purgatory for years. And it does feel like, from the vibe of the single that she posted on whatever TikTok, it sounds not interesting to me. And like, I just don't know. I don't know what she's doing. I think it's not setting her up for success. I think, unfortunately, it's also just a bad time. There's too many things to, I don't know. I feel bad for her. I feel bad for her because she's been stuck for so long and she's still not getting anywhere.
I know. It's dark.
It is dark.
I mean, I'll be, as I said every time, like, I want to support Normani, but I will tune in, but I am hanging on by a mere thread.
Yeah.
Like, I can't put energy into that. I've done it too many times and been let down.
I know.
So I'm sorry, just ending on this, like, the biggest flop of the music industry is Normani not capitalizing on motivation. That
literally
is forever going to be crazy to me.
Because that how was such could a smash.
The VMA performance, the song, the music video, the energy, the excitement.
And as then, I said, it's one of my like top 50 songs of all time.
And then I nothing. The
nothing for years.
And then, for years. And then you come out once again with Wildside and get like Cardi B on the album. There's a full dance routine. Everyone's dancing to it. You have hype. You finally cracked TikTok. Like, you're basically like putting Sean Bankhead, like, you're all of it's happening. And then you go away again.
Yeah. So do I you know, this- do you know that when Motivation came out, do you know the date?
It has to be 2019.
August 16th, 2019. And it was an Ariana Grande, I guess, throwaway, because she's a songwriter on it. As is Max Martin and Ilya, who co-produced Ariana's album. So, like, what are we doing?
She really had it in the bag.
Yeah.
And, like, I understand there's issues with management, but also, at the same time, like, it's been the management is still flopping. Like, yeah. You have new management. We all know you have new management now, but this is the way the rollout's going. So, like, there seems to be one common denominator in this, my sister. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't like to hit on my people, but
I know.
When
streaming it, if it's good, but it's just tough. It's been tough.
I literally, sorry, last thing, I just got an email from the Jonas Brothers saying that their greatest hits vinyl and album has dropped.
Oh yeah.
I literally,
they are such money, like,
it's they're stars. Embarrassing.
They are so like
embarrassing, actually.
For money, it's really not chic
at all. It's so embarrassing how quickly they've fallen from grace.
I know, right?
Wow. Just had to say that.
No, please.
Okay.
We have two more things to talk about.
I think we should end with Kate because I feel like we've been ending with it. So, yeah. Like, let's do The Bachelor.
So, yes, The Bachelor ended on Monday night. And as you all know, we gave up on The Bachelor, Bachelorette a long time ago. But I have been, like, keeping tabs on, like, the front runners on this season because it did feel like, and Giselle and I were talking about this before we got on mic, but
guess on mic.
People love this guy, Joey, and have been saying so many good things about him and how he's the best bachelor they've ever had and really emotionally intelligent. And also coming out of this season, like, not one of the girls had a bad thing to say about him or to him at the Women Tell All. So it's like, yay, we love this guy. I do feel like maybe this is setting him up for a fall from grace, but like,
yeah. We'll see.
But for a while, Reality Steve had been saying that Daisy, who's the girl with the cochlear implant, the blonde girl, had won. And then he was like halfway through the season, he was like, oh, switcheroo, I was wrong. Kelsey actually won. This is this girl from New Orleans. Her mom died a couple years ago. Her dad is like, they want him to be the Golden Bachelor because he's like, you know. And, you know, he did end up picking Kelsey, and they do seem, they seem very wholesome, as you were saying.
Yeah, very wholesome.
But so like everyone's happy for them and happy for Joey, and like, we'll see. But the real narrative coming out of this was that like everyone wanted this girl, Maria, who was like got to hometowns and then got sent home, to be the bachelorette. And
I'm just looking her up.
And they were like, you know, then basically what happened in the finale is that Daisy and Kelsey were the final two, and they like took the van to the final rose ceremony together. And that was like the big twist that they were teasing. That was like, had never happened before in Bachelor history, was that the two of them like showed up together, and Daisy like went to Kelsey and was like, I know it's not me, it's you. And Daisy like went to Joey and was like, I know you're not going to pick me. And like, I just want you to be happy, but like, I'm going to walk away and like, whatever. And then like,
oh, wow.
And then like Daisy and Kelsey are like hugging, and Daisy's like, your mom's looking down on you and she's so proud of, and like,
my happy God.
And like, so that was like the whole like women supporting women moment that they love to have now on The Bachelor. And like, so then people were like, oh, well now Daisy's going to be the bachelorette because there's this whole thing about how she's never felt chosen and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But apparently Daisy said no. And apparently it was Maria up until like last week, and whatever happened, it fell through. And now they have this girl, Jen, who I know very little about from the season, because again, I didn't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the first Asian American lead of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Which like, it doesn't seem like they cast for her. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah,
it seems like they cast for Maria because they've seen the guys, and that's what the internet's saying. And it just feels very much like a last minute attempt to do DEI and like,
yeah,
setting this girl up maybe for failure. And I feel bad for her
a little bit. I mean, it feels like Matt James.
Yeah,
like
who like is doing fine and Danny is still,
I guess, like, yeah, like, Matt James is fine, but like his season was,
yeah,
dark for, yeah, some moments.
And it was just like supposed to be like, oh, we're so sorry for like not having diversity on our show, like here's the Black Bachelor, like right post 2020, like cool.
And we have not had one since, I don't,
yeah,
know. I excited for, once again, I didn't watch, but like I just saw this news, and I'm like, sorry to Jen Tran, because she's already getting the fucking comments in, yeah. I'm just like, it's like at this, like I want inclusion and all these things more than any person. But as you said, like when you don't set your people up for success and actually champion them and rally behind them, like what are we actually moving forward?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I just.
And that's what it felt like they did with Charity, who's still with,
yeah,
say and everything. Like,
right, she's still with him.
My mom watched the season she was on, which was, who would have been the Bachelor?
It was that guy that ended up with Susie, wasn't that his,
oh,
name?
Yeah, but now he's not with Susie and she's with Justin from, oh yeah, oh my God.
Yeah.
Clayton.
Yeah, Clayton.
And I remember my mom was watching that season and she loved Charity and was like, yes, this is right. Oh no, it was Gabby and Rachel who came off of Clayton. So who the fuck was the, oh, Zach, who's still, okay, with his fiance, this girl Katie, she comes up on my TikTok. But my mom watched that season, I didn't watch it, and she said she loved Charity so much and she was like so happy she was the bachelorette. So again, like it didn't feel out of left field, like it felt like she, yeah, was like the one who should have been chosen, the same way like Rachel Lindsay,
even as I was just about to say, Rachel Lindsay, honestly, like that was the one they've done the most correct to me.
Yeah.
Like everyone loved Rachel, like Nick loved Rachel,
yeah,
like we all loved Rachel.
He like wanted her to be the bachelorette,
yeah, like we all want, and they like gave, I mean they had some like crazy ass people on her season too, but like it was for a while great, like we were all invested in Peter, like you know that there were, we had, it was good, yeah. And even I said this with Tayshia, like The Claire of it all was insane, but like once they got Tayshia to like be doing it, that was one of my favorite scenes of The Bachelor.
Yeah. Oh my God. I know. And that was such a bummer that that guy ended up being awful. Yeah. But yes, this one very much feels like people are like, what the fuck? Because they either were like going to be like, okay, it's Daisy. Like she kind of deserves it, I guess. Like, cause she was like kind of this one of the stars of the season. Yeah. Or this girl, Maria, that everyone was obsessed with for whatever reason. I think she was just like real and like, said yeah. like funny one-liners and whatever, which doesn't always make a great bachelorette, but I digress. But now it's like, oh, Jen, like, you know, that's kind of the vibe that I'm getting about it. And that's a real bummer. And also it's like, she's like 25. She's in PA school still, like had to take a break from PA school to go on The Bachelor. And now it's taking, and it's just kind of like feels a bit silly. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll find the love of her life. I don't know. Sometimes it happens. And it does feel like a lot of the time recently, like these couples have been lasting weirdly. Like the last like six or so seasons, like they're kind of still together and it's not that long. So whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I feel bad for her. Cause again, it's like you look at Maria and Daisy, who have 500,000 followers on Instagram already. And then you go to Jen and she has like 90K, which is still not nothing.
Yeah.
But you do just feel like you see the way that like they're set up for failure in this kind of situation. And it makes me sad. But
maybe I'll watch. Maybe I'll support Jen.
I wish her the best.
Yeah. You know who's been speaking of The Bachelor? Gabby on fucking TikTok.
She's the greatest of all time. I love her.
I love following her on TikTok, but I'm like, was she like this on the show?
Yes. I watched that season. Cause I like loved her. She's so funny, Giselle. She's so, cause Rachel is like, no, like love to Rachel, pilot Rachel, but she's so boring. And Gabby was just like this, she was such a star.
Yeah. I mean like, that's so funny. Like her being a lesbian is like the only thing that makes sense.
It's incredible with that like comedian from like, I don't know, Robbie is her name.
Yeah.
And she so was funny. Talking about how she brought Robbie to After the Final Rose and Robbie was like screaming the countdown. And Gabby was like, babe, like you need to stop. This isn't a comedy show. Like this is serious business.
But and like the way she talks is,
and I'm her like, lips and like
it's so she's like, I got my lips dissolved. It's like so funny. She was amazing on Dancing with Stars.
Yeah, she was great. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
She's funny.
The Bachelor's still chugging along and Joey did apparently make it relevant again. So good for him.
Maybe I haven't in a long time, but maybe I'll give Jen's first episode a watch. Yeah,
maybe we'll try. We got to ask Peter this weekend what he thinks, because I know he watched this season.
Yes, we will ask. If you didn't know, Peter, or one of our best friends, he's a Black gay man. If you're an OG follower, you will get that reference. Okay, final thing, which has been like, a reoccurring thing, which is basically like Kate Watch, but I guess we found her, but we didn't find her maybe in the place we hoped. It's sad. I when you were posting about it, I think I was like on a meeting, so I actually don't think I've really like, I know, but I don't think I actually like really know, but like what I know is that Kate, like when she actually did go in for some sort of surgery in December that had nothing to do with cancer.
Well, apparently
January. But then like when they were doing that surgery, they actually found the cancer and now she's been doing chemotherapy.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. The timelines still don't line up. Obviously, here's our stance on this is that like, I wish Kate Middleton the best and I hope that she gets well soon. It's like majority for the sake of her three young children. That's awful. And like, we are hoping that she makes a full recovery. 100%. We do not want tragedy, right? But the timelines still don't line up. There was the ambulance thing in December. She said she had the surgery in January. And then they found the cancer. But then William missed the ceremony thing in like late February.
Also, why were they hiding
it? It wasn't because of Kate's health, even though it obviously was. And now they're saying that he missed that because Kate's cancer diagnosis. And it's like, okay, so it took them a month to figure out she had cancer from the January like surgery. Like, was she in the hospital? What's going on? And now she's in chemo because I guess it took her this long to recover from surgery. But it's just like, if the timelines are a mess, they created this situation themselves. So again, like the minute it came out on Friday at like whatever, 2 p.m. when they dropped the video, everyone was like, oh, well, aren't we assholes? And I do not think so, actually, because I think that, like, Kensington Palace created this situation.
They created hysteria.
Ridiculous PR, ridiculous, you know, like, obviously, like, you know, created stories, planted stories in the media, and photoshopped pictures that then they blamed on the woman who has cancer. Like, it's a total mess. And I think, like, it just goes to show how much of a shit show it is over there. And yeah, and I still am just like, fuck that whole institution. Because again, like, the minute this was out and they had the goodwill of the public again, it's like going back to like blaming Meghan and Harry somehow.
Yeah.
And blaming Meghan for like announcing her new project while Kate was having cancer. And it's like, well, apparently they didn't know. And also, right, like, what are you talking about? So it's just a whole mess. And obviously, again, we wish her health. We wish her a speedy recovery. But like, don't take the blame for like speculating about the whereabouts of a woman that we didn't see.
And they were being weird about it. Spreading
misinformation about. So like,
that's, when you're cagey, yeah, people will act, follow suit and act 100%. Accordingly.
And I know, yes, right to privacy, like for the kids and whatever, but I'm so sorry. Taxes pay for her life. She's getting the best care in the fucking world.
You also tried to Photoshop a picture of her. Yeah. Like,
rather than telling the truth to the public.
Is dealing with a medical thing. She will be gone for the foreseeable future. Like, yeah, just nip it in the bud. Don't try to pretend and Photoshop pictures and like, yeah, put videos out. And it's just,
they
so
were
weird,
still saying she's gonna be back at Easter. She's gonna be back at Easter. And guess what? Yesterday they put out a story. They're not, neither of them are going to the Easter service. And it's like, who cares? I don't need to see them walk about at Easter. It's like, just be honest.
Right.
And don't be, you know, shady. Anyway.
It's very shady.
Anyway, it's, you know, obviously a sad ending to like what, you know, brought the internet together in a way. And I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad about any of it. Sorry.
Yeah. No.
I feel bad that she has cancer, of course. But I feel bad, how could I have known that? How could I have known that, actually?
We're literally just mere people across the pond, yeah, trying to understand information.
Investigative journalists, actually. At the end,
we're investigative journalists. I'm Screaming Pod.
Period. Period. So
for the people. Period. Well, that's it, everyone. This episode turned out to be quite fun.
I
as
know.
Always, but like, I do feel as though like we really just had so many things to chat about.
Yeah.
It's because we didn't do it last week, so here we are. Next week will be an episode for the ages. Of course, it will be about Beyonce and more, but like mostly Beyonce.
Yeah.
And I will be 29. Yay. Meg will still be fabulous. Yay. And that's all she wrote, my friends. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast every week. We love you deeply.
Yeah, we love you. Leave us a review.
Leave a fucking review for my birthday. And most importantly, love you, Meg.
Love you, G.